4321. Dear Christopher, I said that I wanted to explain to you why I went away when I had the time to do it properly. Now I have lots of time, so I'm sitting on the sofa here with this letter and the radio on, and I'm going to try and explain. I was not a very good mother, Christopher. Maybe if things had been different, maybe if you'd been different, I might have been better at it. But that's just the way things turned out. I'm not like your father. Your father is a much more patient person. He just gets on with things, and if things upset him, he doesn't let it show. But that's not the way I am, and there's nothing I can do to change that. Do you remember once when we were shopping in town together, and we went into Bentall's, and it was really crowded, and we had to get a Christmas present for Grandma, and you were frightened because of all the people in the shop? It was the middle of Christmas shopping when everyone was in town, and I was talking to Mr. Land, who works on the kitchen floor and went to school with me, and you crouched down on the floor and put your hands over your ears, and you were in the way of everyone. So I got cross, because I don't like shopping at Christmas either, and I told you to behave, and I tried to pick you up and move you, but you shouted, and you knocked those mixers off the shelf, and there was a big crash. Page 107. And everyone turned around to see what was going on. And Mr. Land was really nice about it, but there were boxes and bits of broken bowl on the floor, and everyone was staring, and I saw that you had wet yourself, and I was so cross, and I wanted to take you out of the shop, but you wouldn't let me touch you, and you just lay on the floor and screamed and banged your hands and feet on the floor. And the manager came and asked what the problem was, and I was at the end of my tether, and I had to pay for two broken mixers, and we just had to wait until you stopped screaming. And then I had to walk you all the way home, which took hours because I knew you wouldn't go on the bus again. And I remember that night I just cried and cried and cried, and your father was really nice about it at first, and he made you supper and he put you to bed, and he said these things happen and it would be okay. But I said I couldn't take it anymore, and eventually he got really cross and he told me I was being stupid and said I should pull myself together, and I hit him, which was wrong, but I was so upset. We had a lot of arguments like that, because I often thought I couldn't take it anymore. And your father is really patient, but I'm not. I get cross, even though I don't mean to. And by the end, we stopped talking to each other very much, because we knew it would always up in an argument, and it would go nowhere. And I felt really lonely. And that was when I started spending lots of time with Roger. I mean, obviously, we had always spent lots of time with Roger and Eileen, but I started seeing Roger on his own because I could talk to him. He was the only person I could really talk to, and when I was with him, I didn't feel lonely anymore. And I know you might not understand any of this, but I wanted to try to explain so that you knew. Page 108. And even if you don't understand now, you can keep this letter and read it later, and maybe you might understand then. And Roger told me that he and Eileen weren't in love with one another anymore, and that they hadn't been in love with one another for a long time, which meant that he was feeling lonely too, so we had a lot in common. And then we realized that we were in love with one another. And he suggested that I should leave your father and that we should move into a house together. But I said that I couldn't leave you, and he was sad about that, but he understood that you were really important to me. And then you and me had that argument. Do you remember? It was about your supper one evening. I'd cook you something and you wouldn't eat it. And you hadn't eaten for days and days, and you were looking so thin. And you started to shout, and I got cross, and I threw the food across the room, which I know I shouldn't have done. And you grabbed the chopping board, and you threw that, and it hit my foot and broke my toes. Then, of course, we had to go to the hospital, and I had that plaster put on my foot. And afterward, at home, your father and I had a huge argument. He blamed me for getting cross with you, and he said I should just give you what you wanted, even if it was just a plate of lettuce or a strawberry milkshake. And I said I was just trying to get you to eat something healthy. And he said you couldn't help it. And I said, well, I couldn't help it either, and I just lost my rag. And he said that if he could keep his temper, then I should bloody well keep my temper. And it went on and on like this. And I couldn't walk properly for a month, do you remember? And your father had to look after you. and I remember looking at the two of you and seeing you together and thinking how you were really different with him. Page 109. Much calmer, and you didn't shout at one another. And it made me so sad because it was like you didn't really need me at all. And somehow that was even worse than you and me arguing all the time because it was like I was invisible. And I think that was when I realized you and your father were probably better off if I wasn't living in the house. Then he would only have one person to look after instead of two. Then Roger said that he had asked the bank for a transfer. That means he asked them if he could have a job in London and he was leaving. He asked me if I wanted to come with him. I thought about it for a long time, Christopher. Honestly, I did. And it broke my heart, but eventually I decided it would be better for all of us if I went. So I said yes. I meant to say goodbye. I was going to come back and pick up some clothes when you were back from school. And that was when I was going to explain what I was doing and say that I would come back and see you as often as I could, and you could come down to London sometimes to stay with us. But when I rang your father, he said I couldn't come back. He was really angry. He said I couldn't talk to you. I didn't know what to do. He said that I was being selfish and that I was never to set foot inside the house again. So I haven't. But I have written you these letters instead. I wonder if you can understand any of this. I know it will be very difficult for you, but I hope you can understand a little. Christopher, I never meant to hurt you. I thought that what I was doing was the best for all of us. I hope it is. And I want you to know that this is not your fault. I used to have dreams that everything would get better. Do you remember? You used to say that you wanted to be an astronaut. Well, I used to have dreams where you were an astronaut, and you were on the television, and I thought, that's my son. Page 110. I wonder what it is that you want to be now. Has it changed? Are you still doing maths? I hope you are. Please, Christopher, write to me sometime, or ring me on the telephone. The number's at the top of the letter. Love and kisses, your mother, XXXXX. Then I opened a third envelope. This was the letter that was inside. 18th September, Flat 1, 312 Lausanne Road, London, N8. 0208-756-4321. Dear Christopher, well, I said I'd write you every week, and I have. In fact, this is the second letter this week, so I'm doing even better than I said. I have got a job. I'm working in Camden at Perkin and Rashid, which is a chartered surveyor. That means they go around looking at houses and work out how much they should cost and what work needs to be done on them and how much that work will cost. And also they work out how much new houses and offices and factories will cost to build. It's a nice office. The other secretary is Angie. Her desk is covered in little teddy bears and furry toys and pictures of her children, so I've put up a picture of you in a frame on my desk. She's really nice, and we always go out for lunch together. Page 111. I don't know how long I'll stay here, though. I have to do a lot of adding up of numbers for when we send bills out to clients, and I'm not very good at doing this. You'd be better at it than I am. The company is run by two men called Mr. Perkin and Mr. Rashid. Mr. Rashid is from Pakistan and very stern and always wants us to work faster. And Mr. Perkin is weird. Angie calls him Pervy Perkin. When he comes and stands next to me to ask a question, he always puts his hand on my shoulder and squats down so his face is really near mine, and I can smell his toothpaste, which gives me the creeps. And the pay is not very good either, so I shall be looking for something better as soon as I get the chance. I went up to Alexandra Palace the other day. It's a big park just round the corner from our flat, and the park is a huge hill with a big conference center on the top, and it made me think of you because if you came here, we could go there and fly kites or watch the planes coming into Heathrow Airport, and I know you'd like that. I have to go now, Christopher. I'm writing this in my lunch hour. Angie is off sick with the flu, so we can't have lunch together. Please write to me sometime and tell me about how you are and what you're doing at school. I hope you got the present I sent you. Have you solved it yet? Roger and I saw it in a shop in Camden Market, and I know you've always liked puzzles. Roger tried to get the two pieces apart before we wrapped it up, and he couldn't do it. He said that if you managed to do it, you were a genius. Loads and loads of love, your mother, XXXX.